Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Moruti Chu ma dumela.
Hello, Ralekai.
Riteng likai Moruti. Yeah, no. I see there, I've been looking at the weather forecast, you know, doing the weather earlier, and I see that you guys are still experiencing heat wave, eh?
You know, it's funny because we are experiencing heat wave, yes, but a few minutes back, 10, 20 minutes back, it was raining.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, yeah, no, but don't say my goodness yet, because the clouds have suddenly disappeared again.
Oh, my. Ah, you know, and we so wish.
So, yeah, back to
square one.
So, yeah, back to square one, yeah.
Ah, man, I saw.
It will go.
Yeah, no.
How is it that time?
It's hot, man. It's heating up, and we just long for rain. We do. Rabat la pula. But hey, we're hoping that the Lord hears.
He will hear us.
Yeah, he definitely will hear us. Now, you know, as long as we remain here on Earth, Moruti, we will always be divided on certain points. But at what point do we cut ties and go our separate ways? Is it ever necessary? And so today we are going to be addressing how do we actually debate and discuss doctrinal differences in a mature, loving, and respectful manner. So how do we do that, Pastor? How do we respectfully engage with those who have different beliefs, views, you know, directly in contradiction with our own? I normally see people having raised temperatures, hot under the collar, and we've seen in certain instances people even want to be physical. But how do we actually get to engage respectfully in these situations?
I think the first thing we need to appreciate is to appreciate that we are not always correct. Humanity is not always correct. There is always a possibility that you might be in the wrong.
Mm-hmm.
There is a possibility that the other person might be in the wrong.
Mm.
There is a possibility that you might be able to learn something new from the other person. You might be in the right, yes, but you might also be in a position to learn something from the person you're engaging with,
mm-hmm.
where the difference is. So the very first thing that we need to do is to be able to give us an opportunity to listen to the other party.
Yeah.
Listen to the other person's perspective and give it your full attention. When you listen, you acknowledge. You know, humanity is humanity. You know, I always say that the fact that I'm wrong does not make me less human.
True.
It doesn't make me less Christian, if you may call it that way. It doesn't make me less of a person. So I should always be given acknowledged that I have a point. You know, I have a point of view, right or wrong, but I do have a point of view. And in my mind, it is correct. And I need to defend it. So I need to respect the other party. I need to give him a chance to talk. And then now, when you're having differences, you will all, now, if you want to avoid a confrontation, already we have a disagreement here. We don't need confrontation.
True.
Let's agree that we are not agreeing, but let's avoid confrontation. So what do we do? We look for common ground, you know? We look for common ground. It's hot right now. We are crying about it, but we appreciate the fact that God still listens to our prayers. You know what I mean? So that is our common ground. So we need that. And then drive each other back to the Bible.
Yeah.
Let's drive each other back to the Bible. Then we will reduce our differences. And one of the things that also human beings sometimes lose is the fact that difference of opinion is not enmity between the two of us.
True. Very true.
We have a difference of opinion. The focus should be on the issue, not attacking the individual. If we disagree, we are not disagreeing as individuals. We are disagreeing on a point, on a certain belief, on a certain doctrine.
Yes.
It doesn't suggest that me and you are fighting. We have no personal issues. It is just a difference of opinion. So let's respect each other. Let's respect each other's opinion. Let's listen to each other. Let's give the other person a chance to express themselves. Let's look for common ground. Let's agree where we agree and disagree where we disagree. And life goes on.
I like that, because sometimes, you know, people are so much invested in their point of view to the extent that if you don't agree with them, they take offense at that. And I like that you're saying that you've got to accept at least that you can learn something from somebody, even though you don't agree. Secondly, you are also saying there's a chance that you may be wrong. And always, you know, open yourself up to listen to the other person, to see if they're making a very, you know, a cogent argument about whatever it is that is on the table, so that you don't end up boiling, you know, within yourself, thinking, "No, man, I want to beat up this guy."
And that's one of the that's one of the weaknesses we have as a church, mm-hmm. church meaning the Seventh-day Adventist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe you believe also that we are the true church. We have no doubt over that one. Every Adventist, but whether they know about the Seventh-day Adventist doctrines or not, they believe that the Seventh-day Adventist church is the only true church,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we come with that attitude when we are discussing issues, especially when we are discussing with non-Adventists.
Mm-hmm.
We have this attitude that, you know what, I'm Adventist, remember.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that attitude is what drives people away.
Yeah.
We need to accept that, yes, maybe the Seventh-day Adventist church is actually the only true church, but the belief that you're holding on, you're holding on to, it's not necessarily a belief of the Seventh-day Adventist church.
Mm.
It's your own belief.
It's
a cultural belief. It's something that has been done many, many times ago, and it's not even true, you know. So pause, listen to the other person, whether they are old or young, whether they're Adventist or non-Adventist, whether they are Christian or not a Christian, just give them the benefit of doubt. Listen, humble yourself.
Yes.
If you're a true Christian, the first thing you must be is humble. If you're not humble, then there's something which is not right about you.
Yeah, which is quite true. Man, you've actually, you know, hit it on the nail there, Pastor. Now, how do we, as churches, address controversial doctrines without causing division among ourselves? Because I do realize that there are many instances where even among ourselves, we've got certain disputes, and we end up, not seeing eye to eye, and chances of, a separation happen. How do we manage that situation?
The first thing that the church should appreciate, when you say church now, it becomes difficult because you don't know whom you mean church there.
Mm.
We are all part of the body of Christ, and we are all members of the church. Now, if we can come to a point where, a starting point of equality, where we want to believe, where we believe that each and every one of us is equal before the eyes of God, we are also equal amongst ourselves. There's no one who's bigger than the other. There's no one who's more important than the other. Then we can never start one. I remember there was a time when I was very young, and then there was a Bible discussion at church, and then in the heat of the discussion, people started correcting each other's grammatical errors. No, you can't present that. when we get to that level, it means we have lost the plot. It is no longer about coming to a conclusion. It is no longer coming to an agreed point. It is now winning. My side should win, your side should win. But now, when we are discussing doctrinal issues, biblical issues, it's not a debate, because a debate is you are winning, I'm losing. But in a doctrinal issue, we are not losing or winning.
Yeah,
we all need to go out with one position. So let's be equal. Let's all be humble. Let's all be Christian. Let's all be children of God. Let's all know that God can reveal His truth even to one person who has never been to a school. But God can reveal that. Didn't He do that with Ellen White after all?
Yes,
so if
yes.
He could do that with Ellen White, then He can do it with those we consider as non-entities. We need to remember that in the eyes of God, there is non-entity. We are all equal. So if we begin from there, then we'll reduce our chances of conflict. Yes, we'll have differences. Yes, we'll have disagreements, but we'll avoid conflict.
Well, that's actually true, Pastor. You know, in these instances of, disagreement, we sometimes see these disputes, doctrinal disputes, resulting in church separation. Is that something that we should accept? That, well, it looks like we are not agreeing with these brethren, so let's go our separate ways.
You know, in the history of our church, there's one thing that has been consistent. It is moving. When people discover a new truth, they leave those who don't want to believe in that new truth and move to the next church. So the Seventh-day Adventist Church, as it is right now, is a product of the other churches which are behind, the Lutherans and other churches. So if we were not allowing each other to actually agree to separate, we would not be where we are right now. Okay. It is that allowance that we allow ourselves to agree to disagree and say, okay, you know what? If you think that Jesus is going to come in 2025, and then I believe that there's no time limit to that, you can move to the next stage where you have your own congregation which believes in that. But again, if we believe that we have come to the end, where we believe that this is the truth we have now, is the only truth we are supposed to have, then we have to discourage the breaking up. But are we there yet? No, we are not necessarily there. We will discover truth. We will discover new truth. The ideal is that we remain united and all agree to the new truth if we have found it and it is in the Bible, and then we see it, we move together. But if we don't agree, let's agree to disagree.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. It's actually a beautiful perspective so that we understand. I mean, it puts a perspective of maturity in the whole thing of, you know, differences. Now, under what circumstances would you advise that we don't bother engaging at all?
Personally, for myself, if I were to use myself as an example, I will not engage in a situation whereby the other party is not willing to listen. I will not engage whereby the other party is not willing to lose here and there. I will not engage where the other party believes they hold the authority, they are God on earth. If we are at that level, then it's a waste of time. If you engage, you're going to end up being personal. You're going to end up making fighting for nothing. So I will not engage. But if we disagree completely, you say, let's move west. I say, let's move east. Mm-hmm. But we are willing to stand. We are willing to talk. We are willing to listen to each other. We are willing to open the Bible and compromise and pray, then we can engage. But if those things are not allowed in our confrontations, in our differences and the like, then there's no point in engaging at all.
Mm-hmm. Because I normally see people getting into these kind of discussions where they are discussing doctrinal issues, not with a mind of learning something from someone else, but to teach this person what is correct. And I think with that mindset, it would be difficult to accept that this person is differing with me.
Exactly. If you come to me with an attitude of teaching me, then I have to be with an attitude of learning everything from you, because you are not interested in listening to my side. Mm. So if I am at a point where you are telling me there are certain things I don't know in life. And those moments when you come with those kind of things, I will always open up myself and listen to you. But I also think that I believe I have an opinion over where I feel if you come with an attitude of teaching nothing else but teaching, then I will not be able to engage with you. So if I am not willing to engage with someone because they are coming with that attitude, then it means if I go with that attitude to someone else, that person will not be able to listen to me also. So what does it mean? It means as human beings, we should be willing to, yes, teach what we know. But even in our teaching, we should also have a spirit of learning so that we think that, yes, I know the Sabbath truth. Yes, I know that it is part of the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. But in engaging with this non-Adventist and non-Christian, for that matter, there is something that I teach even about the Sabbath, which I know and the person doesn't know. Because I came with an attitude of, with a teachable and learning spirit.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful point you've made there. Now, should we be educated in all other different belief systems out there so as to make informed decisions? Or would that only just create more confusion?
If you believe, I've met two groups of people. Mm. Those who believe that I don't want to expose myself to too much because I'll end up being confused. I've met people who say, I don't want to study. I don't want to understand about how the devil works. I only want to know how Jesus works. Mm-hmm. And then I've also met people who say, I want to know both sides. So that as I make an informed decision, and if I meet the devil, I will know this is the devil. If I meet Christ, I will know it is Christ. Others are saying, no, I'm not interested in knowing who the devil is. I'm only interested in knowing who Christ is. So we should be open to different, people have got different, if they call it, learning style. Mm-hmm. There are those who don't prefer being approached in a certain way, that those who prefer being approached in a certain way. Yeah. One thing I always encourage Christians to do is to always try and understand each other so much so that before you talk about Jesus Christ to me, please know my name, know where I come from,
yes,
learn
yes.
my interest. learn the type of things that I will listen to and what I will not listen to. The type of, have a starting point so that you don't just come to me and attack me with the gospel when you don't even know whether I have the food at home or I don't have food at home.
I think that's a very important point, because many a times we are only interested in letting the other person know that this is correct, this is how you practice this particular belief, and this is what you should know. And if you cannot know this, then you are in trouble, because you may not even see heaven, which I think...
You won't know when to heaven.
Yes.
And most of us are in church because of fear. You know that we are fearing, you know, I will not go to heaven, I'll burn for eternity, I'll burn for 10 years, whatever. It's out of fear, not because of we love Christ, no, but because of fear.
And that's a big problem, because if we're going to be doing things out of fear, then we are actually not even learning anything from the doctrines that we engage in.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
Pastor, before we let you go, I know that you've touched on this in passing, but I just need to get a slightly deeper into it. Can other believers not of our faith teach us anything?
A lot. They teach us a lot. We, every church which believes in God, whether they are from our faith or not from our faith, they love God. They believe in God. So if you can, there are certain things they focus on that we don't necessarily focus on. I've learned a lot of things from non-Adventist Christians, especially when it comes to faith, when it comes to prayer, when it comes to love. There are things that they do way better than ourselves. So if we are humble enough to know that we are also human, yes, we might be in the pew church, but we are not all true ourselves. We need to learn and learn and learn. And if we approach these things with a teachable spirit, if we are open, if we don't have fear, we can visit these churches, see how they do their things, how they relate with each other, how they engage with their God, how they engage with their ministers, how they engage with each other. There's a lot we'll learn.
I think you've made a very powerful point, Pastor. Thank you so much. I think we do have quite a lot to learn from each other as humanity. And this attitude of coming and saying, I teach you, you don't teach me anything. You come and learn, I'm not learning nothing. I think that's the same attitude that actually repels other people. Not so?
Exactly. You know, one thing that science has taught us, psychology has taught us, is that a human being is defensive by nature. When you put a human being in a corner, they respond by defending them, their corner. So if you don't want a human being to defend themselves, then don't attack them. So if you come with an attitude of, I know it all, you can't learn anything from me. The issue of diet, it's a beautiful doctrine, it's a beautiful belief, it's a beautiful system that we have as Seventh-day Adventists. But the way we take it out to the people out there, even to each other in the church, is normally wrong. And people defend themselves by deciding, okay, you are saying I shouldn't eat meat. I'll show you. I'll eat it because I can.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You lost a person there. Instead of winning a soul to Christ, you've actually lost them.
Yeah, that's actually quite true. Hey, no, Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through today. Thank you so much. Blessings. And we are then going to be connecting with you once again tomorrow, same time and same place.
Thank you so much.
Lovely. Blessings to you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.